Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
Wrapping things up here from the 15th annual Cleveland Browns Foundation golf event, and want to thank Morton Steakhouse for providing food for our golfers today. Now it's one of my favorite times of the week as we bring in the three-time Super Bowl champion Jerod Cherry for three questions with Jerod. Jerod, let's start right with it. The draft, specifically the Cleveland Browns draft, grade it.
I grade it. I have two grades, guys. I have an A+, and that's with Josh Gordon being on a football team.
Okay.
I give it a D without Josh Gordon being on a football team.
All right. Well, I wanted to start with the draft in general. That I'm going to save the Gordon question. So let's take big picture and what was done in this draft, with or without Gordon, was done. Give me a sense of the areas you liked.
I love the fact that you picked up a cornerback, because when you look at the defense, what do you say? What's a glaring hole we need to improve? That's opposite of Joe Hayden. Now, I'm a Buster Screen supporter and believe the guy can play in the National Football League.
For
but
sure.
Obviously, if you have a chance to get someone like Gilbert, you acquire him, especially in the manner and fashion in which Ray and company went about doing it. And then if you add to that the idea of the mentality of players that you got from Gilbert to Manziel to the lineman to the running back and everyone else, what do they all have a common denominator being? That they play the game with an angst, an attitude. They're aggressive. They're not walking out there just happy to be in the league. These guys, I got a sense of feeling, want to beat you up, want to hit you in the mouth. And guess what? Mike Pettine said it best. He's not going to talk about toughness. He's going to have tough guys actually in the building. So he did a great job, he and Ray, in my opinion, of finding guys who understand. It's not about shaking hands and kikiing and ha-haing out there. It's about going out there hitting a guy in the mouth.
No question about that. All right, now to the question of Josh Gordon and the news that doesn't look good, that he could miss some or all of the coming season. And you just said you would give a much lower grade to this draft if Josh Gordon isn't a part of it. I'm going to take a wild guess. That's because the Browns didn't draft a receiver. So give me the rest.
Exactly. And the reason why I make that assessment, Vic and Nathan, is because of the fact that Josh Gordon meant so much to your offense. You could make the argument that you're probably 1-15 or 0-16 if he does not play, because he was your only viable offensive threat. Now, this is a hard place for me, guys, to say this, because I know one man does not make a football team. And that's one of the things that we do have to remember. It's going to require and cost for people like Greg Little and company to step up and play at a high level, because you can't depend on Josh Gordon. What if he would have hurt his knee or his ACL playing hoop or something of that magnitude? So the possibility of him not being out there for the reasons that he's not out there is all probable. But here's where it gets tricky and dicey for me, and why I say a D. On one hand, that might be too low of a grade, because you can't expect a rookie to come in there in the first place and do so much. So I'll recant that and won't say a D. I'll give it a C+, B-.
Would you reserve the right to change that, though, based on the moves that are made via a trade, a free agent signing, or something to address the receiver position, since it doesn't necessarily have to be addressed only in the draft?
No, and the reason why I say no is because the chemistry, timing, all those things. If you're picking up a guy late in the process of going through training camp, he hasn't gone through it all with those guys, so the bonds aren't there. They'll come over the course of time, but there's something special about that. We can't not forget that we're also dealing with a new offense and a new scheme and all that entails. So now you're going to incorporate somebody else who you hope has played with Kyle Shanahan's offense, then that helps the adjustment process much quicker. So, yeah, I'm probably too harsh on a D, but I think that's more so because I'm mad at Josh Gordon. I'm looking for someone to take it out on.
I'm angry, too. It hurts me. There's no doubt about it. I want to stay on this before we get to the third topic. So we're going to have an elongated second topic, because you won Super Bowls with the New England Patriots team that was built on great defense, the ability to run the football. Tom Brady came into his own, but at that point, early on at least, was not established as a great quarterback, and literally no receivers. I mean, no name receivers. No Josh Gordon-type receiver. So you've seen it work. Does that give you a little comfort?
And that's why, like I said, it's actually a battle inside. Because on one hand, I agree exactly and wholeheartedly, Nate Dogg, with what you're talking about. Because I would be a hypocrite to say, you didn't hear of David Patton. You didn't hear about Troy Brown. You didn't hear about...
He was playing DB half the time, Troy Brown.
You didn't hear about those guys. But what did we do? We ended up winning a Super Bowl. So, again, you don't have to have a Josh Gordon in production to do it. But here's the problem with the whole situation.
They're better with him, no doubt.
There was a mentality. There was a mindset in that locker room that was so team-oriented and team-centric. I've seen here, and it could be overcome, because now you have a new regime. Well, last year in particular, we saw where the defense was up in arms and upset about the fact that the offense was not carrying their weight. Now, some of the guys that are the main proponents of that are no longer in the building. Let's just be real and say that, because I can recall with you, Vic, post-game, hearing those comments, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But at the same time, It's a large majority of guys still on that team from last year, still in this roster. The whole locker room has not been completed, disavowed of those type of mentalities in there. It will have to change for these guys to make it on this team. But if that Mike Pettine mentality, what he and Ray Farmer is trying to establish, is actually there and they've done that already and going into the week one, they've established that, then I can say, you know what? You don't need a Josh Gordon. Matter of fact, if I'm Ray Pettine, the first thing I'm saying is, you know what? Look around, man. You got all these people saying that we are one-trick pony. Are you a one-trick pony? Are you? That's what I'll be asking these guys, and I'll be demanding them say, no, I'm not no one-trick pony. And after he establishes that and gets that across, you go out there and you knock Pittsburgh in the mouth. It's really that simple. And if they feel that way and if they're about it that way, you got something right there.
I'm fired up. I like that. So now we will get to the third question. But I love that response, and I like that mentality. It's something they're going to be able to do. We only got a couple minutes left, but obviously the third question, Johnny Manziel, the Browns have drafted him. What are your thoughts on that? How's it going to be handled? We know that they've said he's already the backup, not the starter. He's got to earn it, but just in general, Johnny football.
Yeah, and I was listening to you guys early, and I love the fact, not like, but love the fact that Mike Pettine set him down and said, you know what, Johnny, you are the backup. Act like that. Understand what your role is. Obviously, you don't just sit on that and say, okay, I'm a backup. I'm not going to go out there and play. No, you go out there and you compete with Brian Hoyer. You enforce him to understand and earn that he has to earn this job, and you're not going to cave in because Mike established you as the backup. At the same time, guys, this may sound crazy, but I've been saying this all weekend since Johnny was drafted. Great move. You got a player who's, in my opinion, top 10 player at 22.
Yep.
You got a quarterback. Now, there's a boom and bust cycle that goes along with that, and I get totally where everyone's coming with from that perspective. But here's what I know. When you get a guy like Johnny at 22 as opposed to 4, the chip gets bigger. The attitude gets greater.
Right.
The desire to overcome
he wants to
becomes
prove.
More
yes.
increased.
Yes. Yes.
So guess what? You got a guy for the rest of his career, which
you're
you
right.
are hoping has something to prove and will go out there and prove it. Great, great move. Johnny is better at 22 than at 4.
Than if I agree.
And
that
he gets
affects
Houston
the whole mindset.
And Jacksonville on the schedule this year.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Gerard
Sherry
making
guys.
His Monday appearance, the three topics with the three-time Super Bowl champ. We want to thank Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, for joining us. Renee Harvey from the Browns Foundation, Billy Wynn, John Hughes, Paul Kruger, Barkevious Mingo from the Browns roster with us as well. Want to thank Laura. Want to thank Chris for their support out here. And certainly our outstanding producer, Jason Gibbs, for putting everything together at his end. And Rob McBurnett from the Browns, of course, public relations, for all the great work he's done to help us out.
And Leah Krause putting together a great
event
as
well.
And Leah
Krause, the whole, that's right. We got tremendous support and help when the Browns put together this golf tournament. And all the folks here at the Barrington Country Club, thank you for your assistance. All right, we're going to be doing this. I'm not back until Wednesday, but tomorrow Jim Donovan's going to fill in for me with Nathan. I'm actually going to be on a panel for a media boot camp for former NFL players out of Bowling Green. Got that to do tomorrow, so I'm going to enjoy that. I'll tell you about that when I get back on Wednesday. For Nathan Zagura, I'm Vic Carucci saying we'll talk to you again on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford. Julian Gerard is next.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.